Hopkins. Bryant for the win.
Interviews from your favorite local coaches and athletes.
He's getting to the basket of will, and he's hitting that three-point shot with some consistency now, and he's just in a groove right now where he's pretty well unstoppable.
Hall of Fame and legendary guests.
I was driven by loving to play, liking the challenge of being an NFL quarterback, but after 18 years, I was 1 month short of 39 years old. It's time to go.
Analysis and insight on the latest national sports topics.
Sean Payton was horrible in clock management. That should never be the case with this New Orleans Saints team.
Well, we're waiting.
Live from the Auto Farm Studios, it's Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
Welcome into a brand new edition of Drive Time Sports, live from the Auto Farm Studios. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Happy to be back with you, and today we have a very packed show. Two guests, and we'll bounce from the local to the national sports front. On the local end, we're going to be joined by Pinnacle Girls Basketball Coach and Athletic Director Mark Stuckenschneider. We've been joined throughout the week by Coach Bianco, Coach Jeffs, both Athletic Directors at Carbon and Emory High. Today we're going to be joined by Coach Stuckenschneider. Some exciting news at Pinnacle High School. They have a new basketball coach, they have a new baseball coach, and a track coach. That's Coach Ray Jones Jr., former assistant at USU Eastern. So Coach Stuckenschneider will join us to talk about the addition of Coach Jones. And we'll also talk about the potential plan that could be put in place if we do, in fact, get a spring sports season. That's coming up on Drive Time Sports in just a bit. Also, we're going to be joined by author Kurt Sampson. He has written many, many great books. His forte is definitely golf. He has ventured over into the NBA and written a couple of books about George Karl and some superstars in the NBA, but his stories on golf and his biographies have just been phenomenal. He's got a new book out. It's called Roaring Back, The Fall and Rise of Tiger Woods, and we talked about this briefly before we ended the show yesterday. Just think of the title there, The Fall and Rise. Typically, it's the rise and fall, but Tiger Woods' career is so interesting. This was a kid. He was a prodigy. By the time he turned pro, he was 19, 20 years old. He had signed some of the biggest endorsement deals that we have ever seen. He dominated the sport like no other. And there's no question that he's one of, if not the greatest golfer to ever play the game. 2009, things really started to take a downward fall. By 2017, it appeared that we were going to have a rather sad ending to an illustrious career. Tiger roars back in 2019 and wins the Masters. Kurt Sampson documents the three stages of Tiger's career. The stellar start, the downfall, and then the epic rise back to the top. And so I am really looking forward to that conversation. That's what's coming up on today's edition of Drive Time Sports. In fact, we're going to get rolling here in just a couple of moments. Joining us over the phone first off, it'll be Mark Stuckenschneider of Pinnacle, and then we'll talk some Tiger Woods right here on Drive Time Sports, live from the Auto Farm Studios on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
What you listening to?
Big sports radio guy.
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss things.
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
We're back on Drive Time Sports. We're going to talk more high school athletics. Some big and exciting news coming out of Pinnacle High School. There's a new basketball / baseball / track and field coach, Ray Jones Jr., former assistant at USU Eastern. Joining us right now to make that announcement official, we have athletic director and girls basketball coach Mark Stuckenschneider. And Coach, it is always fun to chat with you. Thank you again for the time today.
Yeah, absolutely. It's always a pleasure to join you, Jordan, so thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. Definitely my pleasure. Coach, I know it's a very exciting time for Pinnacle Athletics in general. It became official just yesterday, from my understanding. You guys now have a new basketball coach, and with that, a new baseball coach and a new track and field coach.
Yeah, we're pretty excited. I mean, we definitely appreciate and like everything that our previous basketball coach Eric Hansen, you know, had done for the school and for basketball in general. But we're also very excited to have Ray Jones coming in and joining us at our school.
Ray Jones, obviously well known in the community. Of course, he served as the assistant basketball coach for USU Eastern over the last couple of years. And Coach, I know Coach Eric Hansen, he played for USU Eastern. Now we're bringing in Coach Jones, who brings that experience not only at the JUCO level, but of course he worked with Coach Todd Simon at Southern Utah, played at Southern Utah. He's played basketball professionally overseas. And so this is a really good get, a lot of great experience for a coach now at Pinnacle.
Yes, yeah, we're definitely excited not only for his basketball experience and expertise, but just the raw enthusiasm that he brings to everything that he does.
Yeah, no question. There's no question about that. And Coach, as far as putting Coach Ray Jones over the top of baseball and track and field, really, you guys fill three coaching slots almost immediately, but it does mean he's going to have a full slate coaching three sports at the school.
Yeah, he's definitely going to be busy. Being a small 1A school, that the hardest part with that is just there's extensive travel time that's involved in getting to all the schools that we play in 1A. So it's a big time commitment, but we're definitely excited to have his input, his expertise, and just his presence with all three of those sports.
How did this become about, Coach? I mean, how do you lure someone like a Coach Jones with his experience to Pinnacle, to a 1A high school? I mean, what's that process like?
Well, you know, I feel like we've always had a really good relationship with USUE, and, we didn't really lure him away from USUE. There was open communication between both schools just to make sure that, everybody was okay with that. And, the situation is just a better fit for Ray at this time, just with what the school can offer, and it just makes sense for everybody to have him make that move. So, but yeah, we've always prided ourselves on a really good relationship with the athletics department at USUE and Scott Mattson and the school as a whole. And we're just excited to bring somebody like that to Pinnacle.
Obviously, these kids that Coach Jones will be molding and teaching and coaching, they're student athletes, right? So they're students first. Coach Jones, while I know, have an intricate role in the classroom as well. And when you add someone, not only to the athletic department, but to the school that has that type of infectious personality, I mean, what a big boost, not only for school morale, but also to the staff in general at Pinnacle.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. I think it's an understatement to say that Ray has an infectious personality. He's, he just brings a high level of optimism and energy and enthusiasm to everything that he does, and that that enthusiasm is contagious to everybody that's around him. So we're definitely excited for, like I said, not only for his experience in athletics that he brings, but just for his overall personality as a whole is going to be a huge boost for us.
Now, with this being said, Coach, are there any other coaching changes that we could anticipate at Pinnacle, or is now the staff for what would be the 2021 season fairly set?
We're actually really fairly set at the high school level. We have some changes and some openings that we're looking at the middle school level, but really at the high school level, we're pretty set now with the changes and bringing Ray on board. We're set for the coming year.
Again, our guest right now is Coach and Athletic Director Mark Stuckenschneider at Pinnacle High School, again making the announcement of the addition of former USU Eastern Assistant Coach Ray Jones Jr. He's going to head the boys basketball program as well as baseball and also track and field. Coach, outside of that news, I know it is kind of a dead time to say the least right now for high school sports. We've talked to Athletic Director Todd Jeffs at Emory and also Athletic Director Coach Bianco at Carbon High School. What's it been like for Pinnacle High School during this time?
You know what? The word that pops into my head is that it's just a really weird time. I think coaching and teaching in general are very social and very interactive jobs and roles in leadership that we have with our student athletes, and to not be able to actually talk to somebody face to face or critique something that they're doing. Say with track and field or something like that. It's just a really weird time. We're definitely you're hoping that the social distancing will, reduce the peak of this outbreak, and we're hoping that all of those allow us to go back to school at that May 1st timeline. So we're keeping our fingers crossed that we can go back as early as possible and salvage some sort of a spring season. And we're just also preparing if that's something that can happen at the same time.
I know that to some it may appear that athletics is a very small picture of everything that's going on, with there being, you know, the dismissal of schools and the idea of possibly no graduation for these seniors. But, Coach, I don't think we can overstate that we're talking about student-athletes, especially these seniors that have worked their entire life for this particular year. And right now, as we stand here at the spring sports season, they don't have it. I mean, it's a very unfortunate situation when you just focus on the sports aspect of it.
Yeah, and, you're absolutely correct. For these seniors, I know that there's a lot of bigger things that are going on, like graduation and preparation for college and all of those things. But you are correct. You know, I have several seniors that are on our track team this year that are, you know, really hoping to break some records and do some things at state. And like I said, we're just really hoping that can come to fruition, that we actually can salvage some sort of a spring season. We'll just kind of have to wait and see how, how the course of all of this goes.
I know at the 1A level, we're not talking about baseball, right? Because baseball is a fall sport for 1A high school. But in the same token, there would be some difficulties, right? Because the spring sports season is so condensed to begin with. So say we go back to school on May 1st, and there is the possibility of getting a track season at Pinnacle High School. There's still some difficulties of cramming that in a very short period of time, I would assume.
Correct. Yeah, and we've had essentially a blog discussion with all of the track and field coaches throughout the state, and really there's three different options that are being entertained at this point. One is if we come back on May 1st of just keeping the schedule for region and state the same, and condensing our regular season or the pre-region track meets to a 2-week period, prior to region and state. And the other option is actually extending it into June and creating a 6-week season and moving region and state back somewhere probably to the third week of June. And then, that third option, we really hope that one doesn't happen, but that third option is, if we do have to cancel the season and just start preparing for our fall sports.
I know that fall is going to be here before we know it, Coach. It may be something that is overlooked while we are in spring sports season. This is also a time frame that coaches use to prepare for that fall sports season. Some even use it to prepare for that winter sports season. And with a halt in athletics, I mean, there's nothing going on. Does this present difficulties, especially for you being a girls basketball coach? Has this interrupted anything that you would have liked to have had implemented around this time?
Well, it hasn't interrupted anything yet with girls basketball, but we do have a full summer planned, for participating in some different camps and the summer games and those types of summer preparation that we do. I'm just really hoping that we can get back to normal at least by June 1st, and we can start moving in that direction.
No question. And before I let you go, we have to give a shout out to the teachers. I know that this is not an easy time, but I'm sure the teachers at Pinnacle have also done a terrific job of making sure that the kids, they stay on task. I mean, it's an adjustment period for everyone, but boy, we really have had to lean on these teachers as of late, and I know they've passed with flying colors.
Well, and I know at least at Pinnacle, and I'm sure it's true for all of the teachers in our counties, but also throughout the state and really throughout the country as a whole, is that they're putting in a lot of extra time and, preparing Zoom meetings and just different technological ways of connecting and staying in touch with students so that they're all working tremendously hard to make sure nobody falls through the cracks at this time.
Athletic director and girls basketball coach Mark Stuckenschneider at Pinnacle High School, again taking out the time to join us today. Coach, it's always fun to catch up with you. Thank you so much for the time, and I'm sure we'll be talking again real soon.
Jordan, thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
Excellent stuff. Mark Stuckenschneider again, athletic director and girls basketball coach at Pinnacle High School. We're going to break for just a moment. When we return, we're going to move over to the national sports scene. And we talked about this a bit yesterday on the show, we're going to focus on Tiger Woods. Really one of the most fascinating careers I think you will find as far as a professional athlete is concerned. And we are going to have well-known golf author Kurt Sampson join us. He has written many books regarding the sport of golf and also even in the NBA. He's got a new book out called Roaring Back, The Fall and Rise of Tiger Woods. We're going to talk about Tiger's career and more when we return right here on Drive Time Sports, live from the Auto Farm Studios.
Many doubted we'd ever see it, but here it is. The return to glory.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM at 7:50 a.m. I'm a go on. I'm a ride
tonight. It don't matter what we face. I'm a go on. I'm excited for this next segment here on Drive Time Sports. We're going to talk about golf. In particular, the career of Tiger Woods, one of the most interesting careers, I believe, in sports history. Really, when you go back and you take a look at what Tiger accomplished at such a young age, he was at the top of his game, invincible, pretty much lost it all around 2009, 2010, fights his way back, does the impossible by winning the 2019 Masters, and really, I don't believe even the most well-thought Hollywood writers could think of a movie script like the career of Tiger Woods. It's absolutely fascinating, and we're going to talk about it right now with Kurt Sampson. He's a well-known author and has penned several highly successful golf books, including his latest. It's called Roaring Back, The Fall and Rise of Tiger Woods. Kurt Sampson joining us right now over the phone, and Kurt, it is a pleasure to get you on today. Thank you for making time.
Oh, I'm very happy to do it, Jordan. Thanks for having me.
Oh, no doubt. It's definitely my pleasure. And Kurt, I know when following some of your other work, I mean, it's not just Tiger Woods roaring back that you have underneath your stable. In fact, you've written a lot of books regarding the sport of golf and also George Karl for those NBA fans.
Yeah, I've written a couple of NBA books in addition to my my golf stuff. Those are my two beats, so to speak, and it's been a happily misspent adulthood.
Well, as far as your writings regarding the game of golf, they're absolutely fascinating, and I think this one may be the most fascinating of all, because just in the title, it's The Fall and Rise of Tiger Woods, not The Rise and Fall of Tiger Woods, which is, in my mind, the ultimate redemption story, and it's really unlike anything we have ever seen in sports history, Kurt.
I agree with that. You and I can both come up with a number of names of sports heroes who've come back from illness or injury or a batting slump or something. But Tiger, what he came back from, wasn't just the scandal, or the PED accusations, or the DUI. It's that he became a laughingstock. His reputation went from the very summit of our esteem to the absolute bottom. He was a punchline on late-night TV, as you recall, 10 years ago. It's an amazing redemption story, really.
There's no question about it. And you mentioned some of the other athletes. I mean, just off at the top of my head, look, I could throw Mike Tyson out there. We could throw Kobe Bryant out there. But the bottom line is, in this day and age, especially in 2009, 2017, when everything was happening with Tiger Woods, social media is at its heyday around that particular time. And that's also something that has to be accounted for.
I agree. It's just the mind boggles at Tiger's journey. We haven't seen the like. I'm just so impressed, really, with a couple of aspects of his personality. Yes, he's had challenges as a human being. Yes, he was a coddled, entitled young man, but he never lost this self-image of himself as a golf champion. He won't until his back and age absolutely tell him he's not. But it's really moving the needle. It's got people very excited that Tiger is contending and even winning major championships again.
Let's start with the beginning of the book. Again, roaring back, The Fall and Rise of Tiger Woods. I love the beginning of it because it starts with basically a brief conversation with his father, and we're talking about Tiger Woods as a 17-year-old kid. That's where this book starts, to give the listener some perspective on what's in store during the course of the story.
Yes, thanks for noticing. My first meeting with Earl was my first look at Tiger, who was this skinny kid in a giant golf shirt playing in a tour event in Dallas. And Earl was very nice to me. I walked around with him for half a dozen holes while he instructed me on how to bring up my own kid to be Tiger Woods. I had one in the cradle back then. I was impressed by Earl's calmness and his absolute certainty that he knew what to do to build the champion because, he was doing it.
There's no question. There's no question about it. So, Kurt, I'm going to ask you, if you go back to where this story begins and you're walking around with Earl and you're talking about Tiger again, this is a 17-year-old kid at this particular time, was there the sense around the course that this kid was going to be so widely unique that he would be one of the most sought-after athletes in the world in short time? I mean, was that something that was even circulating around that time?
I don't think so, but it was on its way. It became an inescapable thought not too much later as Tiger won his mind-blowing sixth consecutive USGA championship. That was three juniors and three U.S. amateurs. Turned pro at 19 or barely 20.
Right.
By that time, that is about 2 years after I first saw him, there was no question that Tiger was the next big thing. The fierceness of his concentration and the absolute slash he took at a golf ball. And he had some real charisma, even as a very young man. Reminded me of Greg Norman or Seve, the kind of once-in-a-lifetime competitor that really drew the eye.
Again, our guest right now is Kurt Sampson. He is the author of the book Roaring Back, The Fall and Rise of Tiger Woods. I know at some point in time of the book, Kurt, you actually make a comparison to Arnold Palmer. And we can jump ahead in this sense where Arnold had command of a room. And I think you put in the book that Arnold was always kind enough, you know, if he was eating dinner, people could interrupt his dinner. He'd share a handshake. He'd take a picture. He'd sign an autograph. But Tiger didn't necessarily have that mentality. And if we're going back to that time frame when Tiger, it looked like he was invincible, the folks didn't really seem to mind, at least in the grand scheme of things, of the mainstream media.
I guess that's true. It wasn't the kind of thing for us to write that Tiger was an uncooperative superstar. You rightly point out Arnold, who had equal charisma, but he enjoyed the process. The autograph, the interrupted dinner, as you say, no big deal to Arnie. That was bedrock to the way he was brought up. Certainly was not for Tiger. Suffering fools was really not in his makeup then, and I doubt that it is now, even though he's mellowed quite a bit. Tiger, after all, is an introvert. This is a guy who's, despite that somewhat withdrawn personality, has had to deal with the brightest spotlight for so long. I think at times it's been almost torture for him. Coincidence, the name of his yacht, one of the world's biggest, greatest yachts. Do you remember, Jordan, the name of the yacht?
I do not. I do not.
Privacy.
Okay.
That's which is all Tiger has craved. And then I find it also intriguing that his sport of choice, virtually the only other thing he does besides hit a golf ball, is diving. He just loved the enveloping solitude of being underwater with a tank of air and goggles and you know, looking at fish. I shouldn't call them goggles. That's a mask, isn't it?
Sure, yeah.
The point remains, he's under there with the fish, and he's away from us.
Kurt, this may be a very difficult question, but for someone who's been around the game of golf and has studied the game of golf the way you have, how does someone like Tiger Woods have the mental focus and capacity, yet they hate the spotlight to that extent? To me, it almost seems, you talk about Arnold Palmer, I mean, he loves this. So what is it that has made Tiger Woods be able to adapt to the fact that he is always under scrutiny? The spotlight is always on him, but he still can perform at such a high level.
I guess it speaks to the strength of his self-belief, the cocoon-like concentration he's able to summon. I think possibly it has even stopped being a burden on the golf course, that he just found the mental keys to turn to allow this concentration that makes the world go away. It's, you know, we golfers are always talking about how the game's 50% mental or 70% or whatever. That's Tiger's real strength. Besides making long putts and hitting the ball far and straight, he's just got a bulletproof mental approach. It's very impressive.
So Tiger turns pro in 96. Immediately, he signs the most lucrative deals that we've ever seen with Nike and Titleist, at least in that time. He also becomes the first athlete to earn $1 billion. He's the most marketable athlete in the world. So when 2009 rolls around, and there's this immediate down spiral, and it's almost, I mean, you can't miss TV. You can't turn it off because it's unbelievable that this could happen with Tiger. Go back to that, not only that time in the book, but also that time with you being around the game of golf. What was that like for someone such as yourself?
By then, I'd already written my first Tiger Woods book. It was called Chasing Tiger, which was a fair description of what the other players and those of us in the media were doing with our with our days. I've written 18 books, and that was my least satisfying experience, really. I'd been promised access, and then that promise turned out to not hold. I got no access. It was so frustrating to be enacting the premise of the book, or I was just chasing him around from here to there. I saw some incredible golf, but I didn't get a handle on the guy really very, very much. I don't know how much I improved my insight by watching him play so well. I already knew he was a sensational player, but I wanted to ask him about the role of Buddhism in his life and what it was like at home and so forth. And I just was not granted a intimate enough interview situation in which I could do that. I was always among the scrum of writers by an 18th green, shouting, "What did you hit to 14? And what did you think of the greens today? And what do you have to shoot tomorrow?" Those cliche, stupid questions that provide nothing except the play by play. Where I was going for something deeper, and I just couldn't get it.
Kurt, I know you've mentioned the year 2009. There's so much more I would love to get into. However, we have to break for a quick moment. Do you have time for one more segment?
I absolutely do, and thank you.
That's fantastic. More coming up with Kurt Sampson, author of the new book, Roaring Back, The Fall and Rise of Tiger Woods. We'll continue to talk about one of the most interesting professional careers when we return right here on Drive Time Sports.
I understand you're a real sports fan.
Well, then there's only one answer.
Turn on the radio. You'll never have to compromise again.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM at 750 AM.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, live from the Auto Forum Studios. We're going to continue our conversation with Kurt Sampson, the well-known author, and most recently released the book Roaring Back, The Fall and Rise of Tiger Woods, which documents his life all the way from a 17-year-old kid in the junior leagues working his way all the way up to the Masters Championship in 2019. And Kurt is still with us right now over the phone. Kurt, before we went to that last commercial break, we were talking about 2009 and really the downward spiral that just sent shockwaves throughout the golf world. We saw a giant come tumbling down to the ground. You had just told us what that was like covering the game of golf at that particular time. But for someone like Tiger Woods, who seemed invincible, to go through that particular stage in their life, it's truly remarkable.
Yeah, you know, Tiger, my theory is that Tiger then was married. His father had died or was soon to die. I think he looked around and observed himself to some degree and saw that all of it wasn't making him as happy as he thought it should. That merely winning golf tournaments did not bring joy because there was another tournament coming up, another major to prepare for. He had this restless brand of competitiveness that didn't allow for a moment of, I don't know what, thankfulness or let's party, let's celebrate. In fact, his wife, after a Masters win, Elon asked him what we're going to do to celebrate. Let's get the champagne. Let's have dinner. And he just said, no, we don't do that. No celebration. So I think he thought that massive self-indulgence might be the way to make him actually get some pleasure out of this trip, and thus the regular trips to on his own jet to Las Vegas for lots of bad behavior with Charles Barkley and Michael Jordan, who were bad influences on him, and a million mistresses, and finally it all fell apart.
I mean, as far as Charles Barkley and Michael Jordan are concerned, it's a realm that, Kurt, we probably would never be able to comprehend, right? Because we've never experienced success at that particular level on that grandest of stage. And you can correct me if I'm wrong here, but it almost seems like during that first part of Tiger Woods' career, it's borderline a sociopath. I mean, is that fair to say?
Yeah, another writer, good friend, a man named John Garrity, who had the Tiger beat with Sports Illustrated for fully 15 years, and in those 15 years got exactly 10 minutes of alone time with Tiger for an interview. John characterized Tiger as a clinical narcissist, an absolute... the world revolves, everything revolves around me guy. Everything is a transaction. Very low on empathy. No real understanding of other people's feelings. Sociopath, you know, I guess that's in the same category, really, isn't it?
It's somewhat. Yeah, I know it's a harsh word to use, but yeah, somewhat. I mean, it is in the same category. So this is obviously a very humbling experience for Tiger in 2009. And then, Kurt, what were some of the changes that were noticeable from a media standpoint for someone who decides to write a book, again, roaring back the Fall and Rise of Tiger Woods? What were some of the changes that were noticeable post-2009?
You know, I wasn't following him closely for some number of years. I picked up on the Tiger story only in the last few years when it I became re-engaged in Tiger when it looked like it was all over. What in the wake of the back surgery and the DUI, and I'm thinking about what a sad end it was to that gaudy career. And then in November 2018, when he won the Tour Championship, which ratcheted up the excitement for the 2019 Masters so far, I mean, so very high, which is really the centerpiece of this new book of mine we're talking about. That's when we all came to notice that the guy had mellowed and matured to some degree. He's had become a doting father. He was going, in some respects, he was taking the lessons of Earl and going the opposite direction, where people may not know that Tiger is Earl's, fourth child. Like some people, Earl had sort of a first family that he ignored. Tiger decided not to do that. Earl was a womanizer of epic proportions, and then Tiger was, and then he decided not to do that either. So I think those kind of new healthy approaches were resulting in a happier guy, and a guy who was slightly easier to deal with. He was still an introvert, but less, I don't know what the word is, less tense about it, less haunted or hunted looking in the public arena where a writer might shout out a question. He just seemed like a happier camper.
And I love the fact that this book is actually put together in three different pieces, right? So we're talking about the beginning, we're talking about the fall, then we're talking about the rise once again. And as you just alluded to a moment ago, you started taking interest in Tiger when it appeared that it was all over. If I'd have told you in 2017 he was going to win the Masters in 2019, you probably would have laughed at that, right?
So would Tiger. Tiger was telling people in so many words, it is over for me. I can barely move. I'll be happy to walk without pain again, much less swing a golf club and win a tournament. Yes, he had this back fusion surgery. Tiger should take a knee to his surgeon at the something or other back institute in Dallas. And then, in typical Tiger fashion, he just rehabbed like mad. He was, first of all, a superb athlete, and secondly, absolutely dedicated to the comeback. So he cut no corners, and then surprised us all with how well he could still play.
Kurt Sampson, again, our guest right now. He's the author of the book Roaring Back, The Fall and Rise of Tiger Woods. And Kurt, I haven't gotten to the 2019 Masters yet in the book, so I'm going to have you walk me through it. We've had Vern Lundquist on the show. He's one of my favorite interviews. We talked about some of the greatest moments in sports history that he had the pleasure of calling. So I have to ask you, someone that is a golf enthusiast and has been around the game his entire life, what is that moment like? What was that moment like when Tiger Woods won the 2019 Masters?
Well, I see it as less a moment than as, a four-round tournament. And then the cliche is right, the back nine on Sunday at Augusta is when the thing begins. And what drama, a terrific theater. And the unlikeliest thing, really, I don't know how well you remember the 12th hole, final round, and four of the five guys on the top of the leaderboard, four of the five top ones hit mere nine irons into Ray's Creek, and those four guys make double bogey. Tiger ignores that inviting pin there to the right, takes a nine iron and hooks it and keeps it left, a very cautious play, and the smart one. And it was the difference in the tournament. There were, of course, some more thrills and spills and chills in the final six holes. But that 12th hole is still so mind-blowing. It's fun to recall, and I had a couple of the participants recall it for me, and that was a fun part of the book.
You know, it's again, just an incredible story. I mean, really, it's a movie script through and through, The Fall and Rise of Tiger Woods. And if you go back to 2009, to 2017, everything in between, you talk about the 2019 Masters, you talk about Tiger Woods getting the Presidential Medal of Freedom, for crying out loud. Is there a more interesting story front to back as far as a professional athlete is concerned than Tiger Woods in your mind?
Geez, I'm hard put to think of one.
I am too.
Because his story isn't just comeback; it's redemption. I cannot think of any other athlete or public personality really who descended so low in the popular mind, who was an embarrassment, really, and as we said earlier, a punchline to for Letterman and Leno. And then the world turned, and he's back on top, the very top, and possibly more popular than ever. An incredible trip for Tiger.
And there's no question about it. Again, Kurt Sampson, our guest right now. Kurt, I definitely enjoyed the conversation. The book is called Roaring Back, The Fall and Rise of Tiger Woods. But Kurt, before I let you go, please let the listeners know about some of your other work that may be of interest and how, of course, we can follow your work.
Oh, sure. I have these three books that are sort of evergreen. They were published a while ago, but they just keep selling in paperback form, and they are Hogan, my biography of the great man Ben Hogan, The Masters, subtitle Golf, Money, and Power in Augusta, Georgia. That's an evergreen book. I'm gratified that people still like that. And a third one you may not have heard of, but it was only my second book, and I've written 18 of them. It's called The Eternal Summer, which is a recap of the 1 year in golf in which Arnold Palmer, Ben Hogan, and Jack Nicklaus competed against each other in a meaningful way. And it contains possibly the best golf tournament ever, if not the 2019 Masters. The 1960 U.S. Open would be a strong contender for best theater, the best picture nominee for the Academy Awards. So I hope people will pick up anything I've written, but those three books plus the new one, I hope people will have a look and enjoy them.
Well, I certainly will. I certainly will. Kurt Sampson, again, author, joining us on the show. Kurt, I really enjoyed the time today. Thank you so much.
Oh, it was great being on. Thank you.
That's Kurt Sampson, again, author of the book Roaring Back, The Fall and Rise of Tiger Woods. We are out of time on this edition of Drive Time Sports. I'd like to thank Coach Mark Stuckenschneider also for taking out the time to join us on the show today. We'll be back to do it again tomorrow. Be safe. I am out.
Serving all of Eastern Utah, this is News Talk 107.3 FM and 750 AM. KOAL. Price.